thinking better and thinking together about life's most important issues. A place to finally meet in the middle, to think freely and reasonably about the big questions of life. This is Thinker Sensitive. The question of God is the question of all questions. To me, it will always be the ultimate question on which all other penultimate questions rest and find their meaning. The question of God is a question of origins, existence, nature, substance, meaning, purpose, truth, morality, ethics, life, time, death, and eternity. This question, the question, the only question that matters, involves a choice. It summons us to move, to respond to its quiet but persistent call. It beckons us to act, to will, to become, to be. It's a question that confronts us in the poetical and the aesthetic, in moments of ecstasy and joy, in the experience of love and the act of self-giving, in times of rest and stillness, in profound instances of hope. It's a question that also finds us in feelings of fear. It reaches out to us in our pain and suffering, in the sobering recognition of our fragility and finitude. And it will meet us at the end of our existence, the moment of our final breath, in the mystery, the enigma of death. For me, the question of God will always entail a decision between intention or randomness, between order or chaos, between design or chance, between guidance or aimlessness, between governance or lawlessness, between spirit or matter, between meaning or futility, between purpose or gratuitousness, between objectivity or subjectivity, between truth or opinion, between rationality or non-rationality, between mind or mindlessness, between freedom or determinism, between will or indeterminacy, between morality or amorality, between ethics or relativity, between temporality or eternality, between what is fleeting or what is permanent, between soul or soullessness, between fullness or emptiness, between fulfillment or nothingness, between consummation or extinction, between hope or despair, between life or death. It's been said that the world would be better off without religion, without God. But we should be careful what we wish for. Yes, religion can be and has been weaponized within the peaks and valleys and ebb and flow of human history. Yes, it's true that many awful things have been done in the name of God. For every example of the abuses or misuses of religion, however, there are examples of horrendous things done in the name of race, nationalism, political influence, money, power, land or territory, and the control of valuable resources. Some of the worst dictators in world history were not religious. Some of the most violent and pointless wars in human history have taken place without any recourse to God. And the majority of the mass genocides in world history, including the largest and bloodiest ones of recent memory in Europe, Russia, and Cambodia, had nothing to do with religion. And in fact, on the contrary, were often associated with explicit anti-religious bigotry and hate. My point here is not to denigrate or shame those who are not religious or who don't believe in God. My point is that people are deluded by many things, and evil can originate from many different sources and motives. I don't think delusion is a God problem. Nor do I think that evil or violence is a religious problem, but a human problem. And I honestly believe, with all my heart and soul, that rather than being the problem, God is actually the solution. It is not wrong or misplaced to thank God for the development of schools and universities, for the construction of hospitals, for the creation and advancement of modern science, technology, and medicine, for the existence and persistence of the vast majority of charitable organizations, humanitarian efforts, and philanthropic campaigns, both locally and around the globe. A human history, a world with God, is a world where the hungry are fed, the thirsty are given a cup of cold water, the naked are clothed, the sick receive medical care, and the homeless are provided with shelter. For centuries upon centuries, most of these selfless acts of love have been done in the name of God. I believe that a world with God is better than a world without God. And I believe that those who think differently don't know what they wish. My entire existence, my whole being, every dimension of my life has been shaped by this one central question. Every important life decision in my personal history has been made with reference to this idea. My choice of study, my degrees, my marriage, where I live, where I work, are all predicated upon my belief in God. My choice to pursue knowledge over wealth, virtue over vice, truth over feeling, love over hate, forgiveness over bitterness, altruism over selfishness, service over power, self-criticism over pride, and sacrifice over greed, was and is dictated by my personal answer to this question. I can only speak for myself, as I know who I am and feel who I am. But if I personally didn't answer this question the way that I have chosen to answer it, you wouldn't want to know me. And it might actually be better for you and for the world if I never existed at all. if I didn't believe in God, I would live completely and utterly for myself. And I would leave everything and everyone who stood in front of me in my wake. But even now, I am not good. Certainly not wholly good. Even now, I can feel the corruption inside of me. The devil on my shoulder. More of a sinner than a saint. I'm not good. Only God is good. I care about this question. I hold it dear, not simply because of its effect on my life, but because of its inescapable effect on the lives of others. We live in a society riddled with mental health issues. The steady increase in cases of depression and anxiety over the last two decades, and the rapid spike in suicide rates among young people in recent years, are alarming. How much of this has to do with hedonistic ideologies that reduce all existence and human experience to instant gratification and mere pleasure? How much of the angst and despair that presently confront us has to do with nihilistic worldviews that rob life of value, meaning, and purpose? Could it be that the surrender to pure banality, the profound loss of awe and wonderment, the rampant disenchantment and fatalism that we see in our culture today has something to do with the growing disinterest in, or the blatant and budding denial of, spirit, soul, transcendence, and God in our world? Could it be that underdeveloped life views, systems of thought that are marred with inner conflict, belief systems that are incoherent, disoriented, and fragmented, contribute to the lack of fulfillment, wholeness, unity, and peace that so many people experience today? Is it not true that our beliefs have a significant impact on our sense of self, our sense of identity, our self-esteem, and our self-worth, on our mental health, our emotional stability, and even our physical well-being? The leading psychological research today certainly indicates so. This is why if you visit the office of a psychologist or a psychiatrist, you may find the following questions on the form that you're asked to fill out. Are you a part of a religious community? Do you believe in a higher power? I care about this question, the question of all questions, because I care about people. And I suppose I care about people because I care about this question. I believe that a life with God is better than a life without God. I want to see people that I love, care about, and cherish prosper and thrive, to have life and life abundantly. My desire is that people would open themselves up to the source and goal of their existence, to the fountain, the well, the spring of enduring hope and happiness. What do you believe? What have you chosen? How do you answer this question? I can't believe for you or decide for you, or answer the question for you. I can only do this for myself. And so what follows is my answer alone. What will it mean for you?